1 Kings chapter number 18. Excuse me. And then Luke chapter number 18. Find both places. We'll be in 1 Kings chapter number 18 to begin with. And then we will flip over to Luke chapter number 18. Looking forward to tonight's sermon on prayer. If you will, I want you to pray with me about something. We are getting a lot of good feedback from our Facebook Live. A lot of people are enjoying it. We're wanting to do some different things with that. So if you will, pray about it. God will open up some doors for us to be able to do so. And we sure use your prayers in that manner, all right, or in that matter. There's several that if you are watching, I know that a lot like to watch, and we would love to get you involved as well. Some aren't able to come to our church, but we'd like to get you involved, some feedback and thanks from you as well, all right? 1 Kings chapter number 18. If you're there, I want you to say amen. And we'll start our reading in verse number 41, all right? Verse number 41. We won't read too far, but we will read beginning in verse number 41. The Bible says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." We began this series several weeks back, and we started off with the preamble of prayer. We then moved on to the preparation of prayer, the posture of prayer, and then we talked about the passion of prayer the last time that we met 2 weeks ago. And then tonight we're going to look at the persistence of prayer. The persistence of prayer. In our passage of Scripture, Elijah prays. The Bible says in verse number 42 that he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and he began to pray. The Bible tells us that in verse number 43, he told his servant to go up to the top of the mountain and to look out towards the sea. And when he went and he looked, he came back and he said, preacher, there is nothing. And Elijah gives him instructions to go back up seven times. Now, we've said this and made a joke out of it each time that we preached, and I just thought it was interesting because most people, you can't get them to do anything, and here this servant ran up to a mountaintop seven times and looked, and there was nothing. On that eighth time, he come back and said there was a little cloud as a man's hand. But I want to say this. Many people don't ever get to that eighth time. Many people don't ever get to their breakthrough. Many people don't ever get to their answer because they quit long before it. Prayer is something that you and I should do and do faithfully. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me over to Luke chapter number 18. And we're going to look at the words of Jesus. As Jesus is teaching, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 18. We're going to look at this story for tonight. As we look at this thought of being persistent in prayer, in verse number 1 of chapter 18, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and not to faint," not to lose heart, not to stop. Can I say these were the words of Christ himself? The Bible goes on saying, "There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Boy, as we look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus is giving us an example. He's giving us a parable here of a widow who comes before a judge. And the Bible says in the first part of it that she came and to him. That word came is in our text is an imperfect tense, and in the Greek, which means it signifies a continuous action. So this woman came over and over and over again to him. This is also verified by the fact the judge says about her continual coming. Matter of fact, if you do some study in this thing, you'll find out the judge was scared that she was going to get physical in this. And I'm not talking about kissing him. I'm talking about hitting this joker. Somebody say amen. He said, that's why I'm answering this prayer. As a matter of fact, in chapter number 18 and in verse number 7, or let's see. Yeah, verse number 7, he says, and shall not have, no, in verse number 5, it says, yet because this widow troubleth me, that means coming over and over again, lest by her continual coming she weary me. That weary means to give her a black eye. I ain't kidding y'all. In the translations, it's weary. But when you go back and you go to look this thing up, it means to hit him, to physically bust him up. He was worried that this widow, by her coming over and over again, that eventually she was going to punch him right in the mouth, all right? And he says this. He says, I'm going to answer her not because I'm a good man, not because I'm a just man, not because I care about God nor about other men. I'm going to do this thing because I'm tired of dealing with her. I'm absolutely tired. I'm ready for her to go away, all right? Now, we look at this, and God, Christ gives us an example of this in prayer. So we look at this, and a lot of times we try to look at this thing and say the judge is God. And no, it wasn't. Remember, the judge was a man. He said this after himself. He says that I fear not God, nor regard man. Does that sound like God? Absolutely not. God does regard you and I. He didn't regard you and I, we'd be on our way to hell with no way of no escape. He does regard you and I. But he gives this example, and we want to take this tonight and kind of look at this, and I pray to be a blessing to you in this thought of being persistent in our prayer. I want you to first notice the decree of persistent prayer. The decree of persistent prayer. In verse number 1 of chapter number 18 of the book of Luke, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Can I say this? That you and I have a decree, a command, if you will, from God, that we are to pray. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. But so many times, as I've mentioned over and over again during this series, the very thing that you and I are the resource that we have that is so powerful it can change the world is the very thing that you and I neglect the most out of our personal Christian walk. Most people don't have the prayer life that they should. Somebody say amen. We do know how to pray. We know how to pray when called upon. We know how to pray when it's time to eat. We know how to pray when other things in our life is falling apart. We know how to pray. But the fact of the matter is not very many of us is persistent in our prayers outside of our needs. In other words, you have something go wrong in your life, you're very persistent in your prayer. Your marriage is failing, you're on your face, you're praying every day, every other hour, begging God to save your marriage, begging God to put your life back together, begging God to save your wife, whatever the case may be, you're very diligent in prayer when you're in trouble. But when everything seems to be going good, How many of you know we have a little bit of an issue when it comes to prayer? And so we're not very persistent in our prayers. I'm thankful. I hope you have got you a prayer partner. I hope y'all still doing that. I don't want this to end just because it's Monday morning. I don't want it to end just because you come to the end of the week. Be persistent in your prayers for whoever you're praying with, whoever your partner is, all right? I want you to do that. I want us to get in a habit of every day calling out on God in prayer, being persistent in our prayer. Why? Because we are commanded to do so. You and I have an obligation. The Bible says that we ought. It says that men. It ain't talking about men. It ain't talking about males. It's talking about that all of us ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, a lot of us pray, but we faint. Somebody help me right here. But we haven't, I'm going to get to that here in a minute. But I want you to notice the decree of persistent prayer. I want you to notice first off the author of it. The author of this chapter number 18 and verse number 1, the speaker here is Christ himself. And he's telling us as our example that men ought to pray, always to pray. Not some of the time, but always to pray. Not just when things are going well, but always to pray. Not just when things are falling apart, but always to pray. You and I have a command from God that we are to pray. And it's something that we most, come on, don't lie to me. Well, don't admit it. But anyhow, we neglect. We neglect. All right. Now, we see the author of it, but we see examples of it all throughout the Bible. The woman of Canaan kept praying, though she was first denied. Jacob refused to let go when he, even though he was crippled, he said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. We see Elijah continued in prayer. He kept sending that servant up the mountain. How about Jesus? Do you realize that Jesus, let me say this, not only was he persistent in his prayers, but he was also persistent with the same prayer. You go and look in the Garden of Gethsemane and you'll find out that the Bible says that he went and prayed and he come and checked on the disciples and they were asleep. And then the Bible says he went again and prayed the same words. Paul said this. He said, thrice have I besought the Lord over this thorn that he had. How many of you have prayed some prayers that sound like repeats? I need somebody to help me right here. Now listen, I want to encourage you tonight. Don't give up just because it wasn't answered on your terms and when you wanted it to be answered. All right? The point is here that we are to continue and to be persistent in our prayers. We'll get to that towards the end of the sermon. But we are to be persistent in our prayer. Don't stop just because things ain't working out the way you want them to. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means it has a meaning of lose heart or to give up. Come on, y'all. I need some help tonight. We are to pray in such a manner that we're begging God for something and we're not giving up until God answers it. Many times we pray and we treat it like our parents or something, and if he doesn't give us the answer that we want, when we want, all of a sudden our prayers are gone, we're done. Do you realize that sometimes, the Bible even says so in chapter number 18, let me get over there where he says it. He says, verse number 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Though he doesn't answer right when they want to, though he doesn't answer immediately. I want you to know something else about this verse too. It says, it's talking about the elect, talking about those that are saved, which cry, help me with this right here, day and night. Too many of our prayers, like I said, I think I said this last week, too many of our prayers, we don't need them answered. And therefore, they don't get answered. See, if you needed your prayer answered, you'd be more persistent in your prayer life. I remember, and I know y'all have heard this story, but I don't care. Me and Michelle was married several years. I don't know. It was 7, 8 years or something like that when we went through this. anyhow, things happened in our life, and God, I'd actually gotten saved, and God started using me. God was using me to preach, and I was having opportunities to preach. And anyhow, me and Michelle probably been married 10 years maybe. And all of a sudden, something come up in our life. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. Up until this point, I was doing things. I was praying, don't get me wrong. But I was doing things. I was preaching, but I wasn't persistent in any prayer. Because the fact of the matter is, I didn't need a prayer answered. Y'all help me now. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. We might mention something, but we don't really need it. God, I need a truck. Not really, but, you know, and so we're not persistent with it. God, I need a new job, but not really, so I'm not persistent with it, and on. Well, in this situation, I was getting closer to God, and we had something that come between me and Michelle. I'm talking about to the point where we were that close to a divorce. I loaded Michelle up in the car and I said this. I said, we're going to see the preacher. And either this gets fixed today or we'll be with the lawyer tomorrow because I'm done with this. But here's the thing. The whole time I needed this prayer answered because I loved that woman over there with everything I got. And I sure didn't want to divorce my wife. And so my prayer got real persistent. I'm talking about day and night. I'm talking about hours on end. I ain't talking about just every now and then. I ain't talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I ain't talking about God bless this food and my marriage. I'm talking about I was on my face begging God to save my marriage. Why? Because I needed a prayer answered. And because I needed a prayer answered, I was very persistent with it. And I want to tell you something. There was a lot of people that never returned from the point that me and Michelle was at. Never returned back into the relationship. But God changed it all. I'll be honest. I'll stand here and I'll tell you with everything I got, our relationship is 10 times better than it was before that. But it came through persistent prayer. I needed a prayer answered. Most people go through life and they don't need a prayer answered. And so there's no persistence put on your prayers. I wonder how many people we could have prayed for and seen healing in their lives if we'd have been persistent in our prayers. But we didn't need healing. So it wasn't as important to us. And I know there's examples out there of people that prayed and prayed and prayed for your family member, and I'm not saying anything different about that or indifferent about that. I'm saying, what if the church prayed persistently for those things? I want you to notice with me the decree of persistent prayer. The Lord tells us that we ought to pray always. The Lord also tells us that we ought to cry day and night unto Him. I want you to notice the difficulties of persistent prayer, though. Here's the difficulties with it. The difficulty of persistent prayer is not having our prayers answered when we want them answered. And there's many things that go along with that and that cause that. How about this? Defilement. We've gone over this every night. Now, you're going to hear it from me every time we do it. But the Bible tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's a lot of people, I believe, that their prayers are going unheard. Get people, come on now, help me, y'all. How many of y'all really and truly believe you see somebody on Facebook and their life is nowhere close to being a Christian? They don't walk it, they don't talk it, they don't act it. Something goes wrong in their life and they're praying. And everybody joins in with, oh, bless your heart, I'm praying with you, I'm praying with you, I'm praying with you. Or you need somebody to pray with you because you're... We live in such, don't get mad at me, please. But there's so many people that are living in sin. Openly defiling God. Openly just, I'm talking about looking God eyeball to eyeball and saying, I know what the Bible says, but. And then turn right around, I'm praying for you. Listen, I hate to break it to you. But if you're living in sin, if you are in open disobedience to God, then you need repentance in your prayer. And it hinders us. The difficulty of persistent prayers when we are defiled, when we have disbelief, when we don't think God can do what we're asking Him to do, we won't be persistent in our prayer. Say, well, God can do anything. If God can do anything, why are you out there trying to find another job? If God can do anything, then why are you dependent on you? Why is all your dependence on what your ability is if God can do anything? I'm not being mean with you. I'm telling you, I'd do the same thing. There's many times in our prayer, though we're asking God to do something great in our life, there's a disbelief that He can even do it, and therefore we don't even pray about it. Maybe you need God to step up and do something big in your life, and you know plenty of examples of where He didn't do it for somebody else, and so in the back of your mind, your prayer is, I'm praying, but I'm not believing that it's going to happen. And so disbelief keeps us from answered prayers, and it keeps us from being persistent in our prayers. Defilement keeps us from being persistent in our prayer, because if you're living in sin and you're enjoying it, then you're not going to go to God in prayer. That's just like when you do somebody wrong. You ain't going to show up on their doorsteps and be friends with them unless you really messed up and you ought to be shot in the head. Somebody say amen. Seriously, when we are defiled, when we have sin and built up in our lives, we ain't going to go to God. Then we start saying things like this. Everybody's judging me. Everybody ain't judging you. Your conscience is judging you. The fact of the matter is, you're living in sin, you know you ought not be, and your conscience is what's driving you insane. It ain't the preacher that's bothering you. It ain't the Bible that's bothering you. It's what's down inside of you that's bothering you, and you keep going back to it. But you got to blame somebody else. Defilement. We got defilement going on in our life. We have disbelief that hinders our prayers or causes them to be difficult. How about discouragement? Man, you need this prayer answered. Can I say this? We always have a timetable that's a lot faster than God's. I don't care who you are. Your timetable is always faster than God's. You always won't need God to show up now. And if God doesn't show up now, then all of a sudden, we get discouraged. And it keeps us from persistent prayer. Help me if I'm wrong. Call me out if I'm wrong. But when we get discouraged about our prayer and we don't feel like God's answering it in the time slot that we gave Him to answer it in, then all of a sudden, it keeps us from being persistent in our prayer. Ain't no fun if God don't do what we tell Him to. Go on, say amen. Ain't no fun if God don't do what it. God don't do what I tell Him to do, then how's this thing gonna work? Don't get mad at me. Say, preacher, how'd you know that's going on? I've been there. How about this? Difficulties when it comes to persistent prayer. How about detours? How about we're going this way and God says, go that way. Wait a minute, God. I've been praying for this and it's over there. And you want me to go how many of y'all remember trust the process? Didn't make sense to go down there by the Red Sea. Didn't make any sense to go down there. But God took them right down there. It looked like a trap. God parted the waters they walked through, and their enemies stayed there in the bottom of the Red Sea. Can I say this? God ain't working on our timetable. He ain't doing things like we want Him to do. If He says go that way, just trust Him and go that way. But when we get detoured from our way, well, God ain't going to answer it. I guess this is one of them examples the preacher talked about where God says no in an answer of prayer. How about God's just preparing you for your answer? But He's got to get you down there to get your enemies off your back. We see detours. How about this one? Difficulties of persistent prayer. Distractions. Oh, yeah. God, I really need this and that. God, my Lord, please help me. I need that and that. Now, God, I don't mean to bother you. I know you're busy, Lord, but I could use a new truck, and I really want a Harley. Somebody help me. We get distracted. I didn't know I had ADHD. I don't know that I do, but I know this. I'll go squirrel on you in a heartbeat, all right? What? Y'all seen it in my preaching and everything else. It's something that I had to watch. But you know what? We get that distracted in our prayers too. We get distractions in our prayers and, this is good. Now, this happened to me, so y'all don't lie, all right? How many of you have ever got in the middle of a prayer and you're about 5 minutes into it and you ain't been praying for the last four? I need somebody to help me. You're 5 minutes into your prayer and for the last 4 minutes you hashing out something that happened to you last week with somebody who ever done you wrong. Next thing you know, you're like, sorry, Lord, let me get back. Where was I? I need somebody to help me. Where was I? Because I messed this thing up about 3.5 minutes ago, and I'm not real sure where we were at. Did I ask you for that truck yet? Is it just me? I need somebody to help me. God, help me. Lay me down in the bed and get me to praying while I'm laying down. I'm telling you, it won't be there. 10 minutes will go by, and I'm done. We left a prayer 9.5 minutes ago. And then you feel bad. Come on now. God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. You done got mad. You done run 3 people off out of your life and told them never to return. Oh, wait a minute. I was praying. God, please forgive me. I'm supposed to forgive them. I'm sorry, Lord. Distractions. And when we have distractions in our prayer life, we get very unpersistent. I like the prayer room. We've been meeting in the prayer room. Sunday school teachers have been coming in there. Thank you. I want you to continue to do so. As there's one thing that we need in this church, it's prayer. And I want our leaders in there praying. But one thing I love about prayer in that setting is this. You have to focus on your prayer. Man, you get about 10 people in there and everybody's praying out loud. Say, that's too much of a distraction, preacher. No, that's how you focus. Man, you'll get in there, and I'm telling you, some of the best prayers you'll have is with about 10 or 15 people praying out loud. Because one thing, you ain't worried about what they hear come out of your mouth, and you ain't listening to what they got to say. You're focused in on prayer. And so many times in our life, it's in quietness that we get distracted. Hey, it's when everything's quiet that we get so distracted. So we see the persistence of prayer. Lastly, there's another one there, another difficulty. Not only we see defilement, disbelief, discouragement, detours, distractions, but also delay. Delay. Spurgeon said it like this: sometimes it does not seem, or it does seem to us, that God is reluctant to answer our prayers. Yet the delays in prayer are not needed to change God, but to change us. Persistence in prayer brings a transforming element into our lives, building into us the character of God Himself. It is a way that God builds into us a heart that cares about things the same way He does. Too many prayers are like boys' runaway knocks, given, and then the giver is away before the door can be opened. The ding-dong ditch, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We was talking about that at lunch today. Sheldon, my mind went back to Friday and Saturday nights when we go to Jake's house every Friday and Saturday night and ring the doorbell and beat on the windows. Jake was going to get a security system. We had to talk him out of it. He didn't know who in the world was doing it. We kept on. Over your preacher's wife was out there running across the yard. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Hey, they'll tell you. Michelle in her running shoes. I'm talking about, we go out to eat and Michelle's got sneakers on. Because afterwards, we was going by Jake and Jenny's house. They had a little yapping dog. Y'all still got that little yapper? No, you got rid of it? You killed it? All right. But anyhow, they had a little yapping dog. I'd run up there and beat on the window. Bam, 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 bam. We'd take off running. Then we'd hide down the road and look at them. They'd be walking out in the yard. We did that mess for weeks. Sitting there across the table from Jake eating at night, and he's talking about, man, I don't know who keeps doing that to us. And we were like, I don't either. I think the straw that broke the camel's back was when he said, I got ADT or somebody coming out there next week. We're like, wait a minute, man, don't be spending money on that. That was us. That was us. We did tell you, didn't we? Just now. Sometimes delays are God's way of preparing us for answers. And oftentimes in our life, we get so frustrated because it's not being done on our time schedule that we completely abandon prayer when God is waiting for us to go up the mountain one more time. Let me encourage you. There's difficulties when it comes to persistent prayer, but stay focused. God has an answered prayer for you. The decree of persistent prayer, the difficulties of persistent prayer. Lastly, the dividends of persistent prayer. I want you to notice in chapter number 18, a lot of times we read this and we put God in the place of this judge, but I want you to notice some of the characteristics of this judge. The Bible says about this judge that he feared not God, neither regarded man. Jesus emphasized this by repeating it. And he said that the man himself said that he feared not God, nor did he regard man. And so the Bible tells us about this judge that he was very corrupt. He was evil. He didn't care about anybody else but himself. All these things the Bible gives us in this passage of Scripture in just these 8 verses. He answered a prayer not because he was a just judge, but because he was tired of the woman bothering him. He didn't answer the prayer because he loved her. He answered the prayer because he was sick of her and tired of her bothering him. But he did not give us this so that we would come to him with the mindset that he was going to be ugly to us or that he would turn us away. What he did was he contrasted the two. He gave us an example of an evil judge while all the time presenting himself as a righteous judge. He says, as we look at this, I want you to notice that we have a perfect judge. We have a judge that rules perfectly. He answers perfectly. He makes no mistakes. Say, but I didn't get what I wanted. Well, you shouldn't have, because if he didn't give it to us, then I need somebody to help me. Now, that ain't what we want to hear. We want to hear, we like youngins. We're like youngins. Come on, help me right here. Wyatt is going through his Wyatt is going through his phase of give me what I want or I'm gonna scream and holler. How many of y'all know that? Amen. All right, everybody. All right, we all. Dude, he's one, man. You're way into this thing. All right, give me what I want or I'm gonna scream and holler. He comes in there and he knows how to say peanut butter now. I have made him a peanut butter monster. All right. And so he comes in, when he sees it, he's like, I'm not real sure what he's saying to begin with, but it goes something like this. Peanut butter? Am I telling you right? He can't say nothing else, but peanut butter comes out perfect, all right? You can go in the store, he sees a jar of peanut butter. Peanut butter? And he comes in there, Michelle tells him no a lot more than I do. I was very disciplinary when it come to Dalton. I mean, Dalton couldn't do anything. I beat him a lot, and I did all these things. But with Wyatt, if he has to get in trouble, he has to go to Mimi or his daddy. Because Pop-Pop can't do nothing. Pop-Pop can't. I just can't. Y'all help me. So anyhow, if he doesn't get what he wants, he pitches a fit. Tell him, he comes in there, mums, peanut butter. And like, no. Like, what is wrong with you? Peanut butter. Comes in there, I have coffee. I drink coffee all throughout the day. Well, he wants what Pop-Pop drinks. So he comes in there and he wants to grab the Yeti that's full of hot coffee. And I'm like, no. Is everybody all right? Let me tell you how Christians do. God, I want this. Nope. Forty-year-old men and women. He's perfect. He's a perfect judge. Not only is he perfect in his answer, but he's perfect in his timing. I notice this in contrast to the other judge. He's a personal judge. The first judge, the judge here in Luke chapter number 18, he cared nothing about the woman, didn't want to get to know her, didn't want nothing to do with her. He just wanted her to leave him alone. But God, our judge, wants to have a relationship with us. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And he desires to have that relationship with you and I. That makes him a just judge. I need somebody to help me. And if this judge that's evil will answer a prayer, then he don't care nothing about somebody, how much will a God that loves you want to answer your prayers if you'll just be persistent with him? He's personal. Our judge is perfect. Our judge is personal. Our judge, he's passionate. He loves us. He's a God that wants to be involved in our life. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God is with us through our fire. He's with us in our storms. He's with us when water is coming over our heads. He's with us at all times. This judge didn't want nothing to do with it. Get out. Go. Just leave me alone. I'll answer the prayer just because I'm tired of hearing from you. We see he's a judge that provides. Our judge is a judge that provides. He makes provisions. This judge didn't want to do anything, but our judge longs to provide for you and I. He's a protective judge. The Bible says here in verse number 8, I believe it is, it says, I tell you that, or let's go to 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect? He says in verse number 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That doesn't mean in a hurry on our time. That just means when God drops a hammer, it's going to be fast, swift, and it's going to be final. But he will avenge. We see the protection of our judge. We see the promises of our judge. We see the characteristic of the judges. We see the concern of the judges. We look at this and we see this unjust judge. He don't care anything about her or her circumstances. For God cares so much for you and I. And the certainty of our judges. We have an example of one that he answered because it was worth it to him. In other words, it benefited him to answer the prayer so he wouldn't have to listen to this woman more. But we have a judge, help me right here, that isn't interested in his own pursuit. He's interested in you and I. And he hears our cry. The Bible says he's listening, not trying to figure out how to keep us away, but desiring us to come. Let me encourage you tonight. Take your prayer life to another level and be persistent in your prayer. Not just hit and miss and every now and again. Day and night, cry out. Over and over, cry out. Figure out, listen, the closer you and I get to God, the closer our desires will be to His. And the more we'll want the things that He wants, and the more we'll have our prayers answered. As I mentioned, Wyatt, I love that youngin'. I don't know what it is about it. He's a lot better than any of my kids. But he gets upset when you don't give him what he wants. And you can't make him understand that sometimes what he wants so bad can hurt him. And many times when we ain't in tune with what God wants, our desires and what you and I want can hurt us. And I ain't talking about a boo-boo. I'm talking about hurt us. You let a youngin' alone with a fork and an outlet, it can be dangerous. I need somebody to help me. Tell them no. They can get mad about it. They're going to cry and going to fuss. They're going to get upset about it. But if you let them have it over there, you might be having a funeral. And oftentimes I wonder how many times you and I got a fork in our hand and God said, no, you're getting too close to an outlet. That's right. I need somebody to help me. But we want it so bad. God said, no, it'll hurt you. Hey, see, we don't hear that. And so I can't make Wyatt understand that. He doesn't understand that that'll hurt him. And I don't want him to feel it. I don't want him to have to experience it, so I say no. And because I say no, it upsets him. And he wants me. Or he wants daddy, or he wants mama. But oftentimes, come on, y'all. This is good. Take this tomorrow and live with it. Oftentimes, we do the same thing with God. He can't make us understand that what we want so bad will hurt us. Destroy us spiritually. Get us away from Him. Take us away from Him. He can't make us understand that. And so our desires and our wants is to continue after something that'll hurt us. And He says no. Dalton's on the piano. Let's come get closer to God tonight. Are you asking for the things that God desires, or are you wanting your desires? Maybe the reason your answer is no, and maybe the reason your answer is not now, is because the things that you want so badly will damage you spiritually.